south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, I mentioned on the last show that I'm all set for my next Expat Wisdom Latin American Off the Gringo Tourist Trail Heavy on the Boots on the Ground Seminar. So if you want to really see what the American dream is like down here in Latin America, and for those of you who've been paying attention up there, it's really the only American dream that's left. You certainly won't want to miss this seminar. And you know, people always ask me how many more I'm going to do, and I have to say it's getting harder and harder to organize these things, and more difficult for all you guys and gals up north regarding passports and documents and privacy and airports and pat-downs and cavity searches, etc., etc. You know the drill. And it's getting worse by the week. So I don't know if this is going to be my last seminar or not, but I can tell you this. There are definitely going to be fewer and fewer, and then none. So do take advantage of it while you can. Just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the Latin seminar link on the top left side of the page for the complete details. Do check it out, and remember, I'm limiting it to 25 people. Now, people ask me all the time, what's it going to be like? Well, I promise it'll be unlike any seminar you've ever been to. My seminars are very heavy on the boots on the ground part. In fact, every morning we have our lectures, and right after that we're on the road for lunch at a different place every day, and boots on the ground the rest of the afternoon through evening, sometimes ending at 10 o'clock at night. And our schedule goes on like that for 6 days. And understand, when we do boots on the ground, we do boots on the ground. We go to places, businesses, hospitals, medical centers, factories and plants and such, a great many of them owned and operated by personal long-term expat friends of mine. Which means we'll be going to places that tourists and visitors and even long-term expats never get to see or even step foot in. You'll see what I'm talking about when you get there. And yes, this time again, it'll be in and around Guatemala. So just go to expatwisdom.com and check out the Latin American seminar link and you'll see what I mean. Now, if you remember at the very end of the last show, I just started reading an email concerning a very scary subject, that is if you live up in the States. And believe me, I've gotten a number of emails like this on the subject, so here goes. Dear Johnny, I live in Texas myself and sometimes think I have to learn Spanish just to get around. Since all the Latin people down here, and there's tons of them, don't want to learn the Queen's English. Not that Texans or even the Queen speaks the Queen's English anymore, but you know what I mean. Anyway, there's something that's bothering me and a lot of my friends here in Texas that you really haven't hit on yet. I've been hearing in the corporate fake news and in the alternative media, like PRN, that mixed in with all these millions of illegals are the occasional terrorists like Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Now, I'm not an expert on the subject. In fact, I don't even know what happened to Al-Qaeda. They seem to have disappeared lately. Instead, we've got ISIS. Anyway, with the whole world knowing that we've got a terrifically porous border. I mean, it's on the news every day, and I'm sure bad boys and Uncle Sam haters have all got wind of it and have got their plans. After all, that would be an easy way for them to slip some of the people into the country and create cells and such. It would seem the logical thing to do if you were a terrorist. Even a brain-dead terrorist with a moron's IQ must have thought of that. The idea is nothing new. You hear hints and references in the media about Middle Eastern people slipping through the southern border all the time. Now, I live in a big city myself, and I know a few Middle Eastern people. To tell you the truth, if they wanted to and they wore the right clothes, etc., they could easily pass for Latinos. So, it's not far-fetched with coyotes and all, not giving a damn who they take their money from, that this could certainly be going on. So, my question to you is, what do you know about that, if anything? Have you heard rumors or seen any actual Middle Easterners around, shady or otherwise? Signed, Texas, barely hanging on to the American dream, Lenny. Okay, Lenny, we'll try to answer that. Note that in every big city in Latin America, they have a Middle Eastern contingent. Now, they don't have their own neighborhoods. They're spread around quite a bit. Unlike in the U.S., where you might have a Chinatown or a Korean town, a Latin quarter and an Arab town, etc., etc., That doesn't seem to fit the demographics down here. Except in some of those very huge cities like Mexico City and Buenos Aires, where they have populations of over 10 million. There you definitely do have some ethnic areas, but in regular medium and large-sized Latin cities, residential ethnic areas don't quite fit that pattern. However, in medium and large-sized Latin cities, ones over 500,000 people, average Latins on the street will tell you that there is a definite Arab business section of town. And by the way, when I say Arab, I'm using their term. Latins called Middle Eastern people Arabis, as a generic term for anyone coming from the Middle East. That is, except for Jews, who they call Judeos. And that's how the average Latin on the street differentiates the Middle Eastern community from the Jews. There are Arabis and Judeos. That's it. There's basically no other Middle Eastern distinctions down here. The fact is, the average Latin, even the upper middle class and wealthy ones, are quite unworldly and know little about current events. And as for the Middle Eastern or Ukrainian situation, to Latins, that stuff might as well be happening on another planet. In fact, they just don't care what's happening in the rest of the world. Now, Americans, too, might be quite stupid about current events, and let's face it, they get their news from the corrupted corporate media and in 10-second internet soundbites. So, that's pretty pathetic. But, believe it or not, that still makes first-world morons brainiacs compared to even an upper-middle-class Latin's knowledge of current affairs. The fact is, most Latins don't even pay attention to the tiny little 10-second superficial soundbites they get on the nightly TV news. Now, if you remember, I gave you an example of just how unknowledgeable, in fact, clueless, even an upper-middle-class educated Latin is about anything happening outside their little sphere of influence when I mentioned how Latins, I mean all Latins, think the U.S. dollar is as solid as the Rock of Gibraltar. They actually think it's backed by gold and that inflation and devaluation is something that happens to everyone else's currency, not the dollar. They have no idea it's lost like 97% of its purchasing power since the Federal Reserve came into being in 1913. And the Federal Reserve, by the way, had as its two stated reasons for existing, one, to curb inflation, and two, to maintain the integrity of the U.S. dollar. And on both counts, it's been a miserable failure. Well, you know what? You can't even have a conversation about the Federal Reserve with any Latin, even educated upper classes. They have no idea what it's all about. In fact, even so-called Latin economists, the dimmest people of all, I mean, after all, these are the guys that run Argentina into the ground every 10 years now, right? Anyway, I've spoken to Latin economists, people with master's degrees, and they tell me their own currencies wouldn't be so crappy if they had their own Federal Reserve. Imagine that. Yep, they love everything gringo, even the Fed. And you know, there's nothing more frustrating than trying to talk sense to an idiot who's got multiple diplomas. Now I know, all you guys and gals living up there in the stagnant rectum of Washington, D.C., you know how true that is. You live it 24/7. But I digress. Anyway, you want to talk about the glazed-over eyeball look? That's what you get when you discuss international current events with Latin people. Oh, and by the way, forget about bringing up subjects like Fukushima, GMOs and cell phone and cell tower radiation, or even hit on the very simple stuff like fracking or fluoride or chlorine in the water. Instead, like expat Eddie said, it's better to just talk about the soccer game and have another tequila. Oh, and by the way, expat Eddie, who owns a chain of sushi restaurants, told me that he was thinking about putting a new item on the menu called the Fukushima. As a joke, of course, just to see how many people would order it. He says he's sure only gringos and Europeans would get the reference. Latins, he said, would just think it's a new Chinese dish. Because, get this, he said that most of the Latins that come in and order sushi don't know the difference. They think sushi is just another kind of Chinese food. And you know, you might think that's sad, but that's part of your gringo advantage. What you've got down here is a very uneducated, unknowledgeable customer base. The fact is, whatever Latins see advertised on TV, they absolutely believe it. And all the claims that go along with it. Like, for example, you know what's been a huge seller in the last year down here in Latin America? That Jack LaLanne power juicer. Now, I ask you, when did you first see that come out up in the States? 15, 20 years ago? Talk about lag time. Now, that's a perfect example. Latins are buying those things up in droves in 12 easy monthly payments. And yes, in a few months, it'll end up in the dustiest part of the garage with the ab cruncher, the Vegematic, the clapper, and the pocket circumciser. As, of course, everything eventually does that's advertised as seen on TV. So yes, I repeat, the Jack LaLanne power juicer is all the rage down here in Latin America. Even though we all know or should know that those Jack LaLanne power juicer things and all their cheaper clones are just a way of extracting all the juice out of a fruit or vegetable, leaving behind a big canister full of fiber, which is the best part, we all know, and that's the part you throw away. Duh. I guess 15 or 20 years ago it sounded like a good idea and got more people to eat their vegetables and fruits, I guess. Now, where was I? Oh yeah, we were talking about minority groups in Latin America like Muslims and Arabs and Jews and even Chinese. When, by the way, when you talk to a Latin person about the Japanese, Vietnamese, the Chinese, the Koreans, or the Indonesians, or the Filipinos, the collective group we call Asians, you'll find that 99% of Latins down here just blanketly call them Chinese or Chinos. To Latins, they're all just one big happy ethnic group called Chinos. And there's no way they could ever point out where those people actually come from on the map or a globe. But wait a minute. Come to think of it, my sister's kids up in Chicago can't find those things on a map either. Oh well, where was I? Oh yeah, Latin people, no matter what level of society, are not readers. They just scan the pop news. If that. Now, when they get the newspapers, which are still big down here, they instantly flip to the entertainment and sports sections. That is, after spending about 2 seconds scanning the headlines on the front page. Actually, the front page for Latins is all about seeing if anyone they know got in a car accident or died. The rest of the news doesn't interest them a bit because it's always more the same. Crimes, violence, and thieving politicians. So, in fact, the locals know nothing about what makes up the Middle East or Muslim countries and their populations. In fact, they don't even know that there are Christian Muslims out there. I mean, I've asked around. And Latins, when I bring that up, just don't believe it. So you could say that Latins, by choice, isolate themselves from the bad news that's coming out of the rest of the world. Except, of course, in regards to sports and entertainment. Now, when you think about it, maybe that's why Latins are so much happier than people from the first world. Who knows, but maybe that's a contributing effect. So anyway, like I was saying, in most medium-sized and large-sized Latin cities, there are small business and commercial areas where you'll find a grouping of businesses owned by people from the Middle East. Middle Eastern expats, so to speak, who've come down to try to settle and make their fortune too, just like so many first world expats. And their businesses are usually located in an older, more congested part of a big city or town. Not an upscale part of town either, by any means. They're usually in low-rent districts because it suits the type of business they're in. Nothing more. Now note, it's not obvious that Middle Easterners own these places. They don't advertise it. You really wouldn't know that unless someone told you ahead of time or you walked in and kept your eyes open. From the outside, walking and driving by, everything looks totally Latin, all in Spanish. No Arabic lettering on the windows or signage or anything like that. But when you walk in, sometimes you'll notice, while looking into the office area, the telltale signs. The fact is, I've been in a few of those offices, and they'll have little knickknacks from the Middle East, you know, photos and trinkets from the old country and that kind of stuff. And the dead giveaway, of course, being that one of the ladies in the office, or more than one, are wearing a burqa. But believe me, it's all very low-key. They're not out to make a statement. They don't want to stick out. And the ones I've met, and I've met a few here and there, they're all businessmen, usually in the wholesale business, in clothing or parts, car parts and such. Their main thing being import-export, heavy on the import. And they always seem to be working, all the time. And they usually have some money. I'm not saying they're rich, but they would be called upper middle class down here in Latin America. Now, the Middle Eastern guys, they try in every way to appear Western, or to appear like gringos, basically. In fact, if you're walking down the street and you see one of these guys in front of you, and you're looking at his backside, many times you'll think it's a gringo. Short, Western-style haircut and all. And funny enough, down here in Latin America, practically every single Middle Easterner I've ever met or seen has not been wearing the customary big flowing beard or any facial hair at all except maybe a small mustache. And if I remember, it strictly states in the Quran that men are not supposed to cut their facial hair. So now I know what you're thinking. Johnny, what the hell are you doing reading the Quran? Well, it's like this. You know, when I was a very young dude in my early 20s, before anyone but cowboys used the word dude, I took a comparative religion course at university, and guess what? You hit on all the religious books, including the Quran. And by the way, just as an aside here, as if everything I say isn't an aside, when I was in that class, I was a wise ass too, and I tried to stump my professor, and I thought I had him. You know, once a smart ass, always a smart ass. So one day I said to him in front of the class, you know, since Islam is the dominant religion pretty much on the whole planet, how come when you go to a hotel, there's always a Gideon Bible in the bedstand, not the Quran? And I told him, even when you book a hotel in a Middle Eastern Muslim country, there's no Quran on the bedstand either, nor Gideon Bible for that matter, though that figures. Now, you can hear the morning, noon, and night wailers, but still no Quran in the hotel room. And you know, I really thought I stumped him there. And then he said, Johnny, that's easy. Muslims believe that infidels like you are not allowed to read or even touch the Holy Quran. And I looked it up, and he was right. What he didn't tell me was that in some Middle Eastern countries, they'll cut your arm off for that, which is reason number 6,256 why I think I'll stay here in Latin America. Thank you very much. Anyway, so my point is that there are low-key groups of Middle Eastern businessmen down here in Latin America who really do try to blend in fact, even at the risk of breaking the rules of the Quran. Now, that's one thing that's always struck me kind of funny, because their women, on the other hand, are very traditional. But back to Middle Eastern men for a second. So, Middle Eastern men, at least the ones that have been down here a while, for some years, ones that are established businessmen, and most of them that I've run into are. You know, they have their hair cut short, and they wear jeans and t-shirts, even gringo t-shirts, ones with American advertisement and sayings on them. I mean, these days in Latin America, about 80 to 90% of all t-shirts are gringoized. Again, it's part of the gringo advantage, and Latins love everything gringo, as you know. But what about Arabs, Middle Easterners, and Muslims? Why are they wearing gringoized t-shirts? Well, maybe because they can't read or write English. Who knows? I've yet to figure that one out myself. And by the way, just as a thought experiment here, what would happen if you took a nice stroll through your local mall or downtown in Philly or Cleveland or wherever you are up there, and you were wearing a t-shirt printed totally in the Arabic language? I know, you probably don't think much of that thought experiment, but you do get the point, don't you? Anyway, like I said, most Middle Eastern people who've been down in Latin America for a while, from a distance they sometimes look like gringos, and up close they look like regular upscale Latins. That is, of course, until they speak. Then they speak Spanish with a Middle Eastern accent. And by the way, when you're down here long enough and you learn your Spanish a bit, you'll be able to pick out certain accents fairly easily too. Just like you'll be able to tell a Russian or Italian or Chinese or Australian Spanish accent. Oh, and by the way, most Middle Eastern males, as well as Russian males and Eastern European males you meet in Latin America, these guys, they smoke like chimneys. And I mean chain smoke. Many with those very attractive telltale yellow lips and yellow fingernails. Very sexy, huh, ladies? We've all got an uncle or a cousin in the family like that now, don't we? Now, don't get me wrong, because these guys chain smoke, that doesn't mean they smell like they fell asleep in the John at a Chicago blues bar. The fact is, down here in Latin America, chain smoking Middle Eastern businessmen actually smell pretty good, if not overpowering. And no, they don't smell like couscous or hummus or anything like that either. The fact is, as every gringo and long-term expat down here who knows Middle Eastern business guys will tell you, these guys absolutely pile on the men's cologne. And I mean 70s lounge lizard style. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I rather like catching the odd whiff of Brut or Old Spice. Brings back nostalgic memories of the high school days and CYO dances and stuff. And yeah, I know, some of you guys and gals out there are waiting for a camel joke right about now, but I'm not gonna oblige. Anyway, like I said, Middle Easterners who live down here and do business are in the main heavy chain smokers. And don't get me wrong, it's an easy thing to do since cigarettes down here are only about $1.50 to $2 a pack. And from what I understand, up in New York right now, they're like $15 a pack. 10 times as much. In fact, you can even buy cheap Chinese cigarette knockoffs for 60 cents a pack in some of the big central markets down here. Now, I don't smoke, but you know, this show is called The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, so it's my job to clue you in on the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great. And as you well know, I especially like to touch on subjects you rarely hear people talking about. Why? Because they just haven't got big enough boots on the ground. Thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? Anyway, as far as I can see, all the Middle Eastern people I've run into seem to be very hardworking and trying their best to fit into Western culture, Latin style that is. They're super content to live the capitalist lifestyle. It's obvious. I see them out and about at supermarkets and shopping centers, driving SUVs, pushing kids in expensive strollers, or as they say in the UK, expensive prams. And, of course, with the usual Latin nannies, maids, and cleaning ladies, too. Though, I must say, occasionally I'm in a big shopping center somewhere and I see a Middle Eastern woman with a burqa. You know, the big flowing garment and headscarf that traditional Muslim women wear. And when you see them out and about dressed like that, don't think all the local Latins don't notice, especially the Latin women. They do. In fact, I've seen Latin women subtly elbow each other when a woman walks by in a burqa. Because you see, Latin women are really into fashion and all about looking good. And I'm talking about every Latin woman I've ever met under 60. Even poor Latin women have a certain sense of fashion and style, and they do pretty good with what little dough they have. So believe me when I tell you that practically every Latin woman, no matter what class she's in, really does try to dress sharp when she's out and about. The only exceptions I can think of would be nuns. And funny enough, regarding that, in all the time I've been down here in Latin America, I've seen very few nuns. And being that Latin America is something like 80 to 90% Catholic, you'd think they'd be everywhere. Monks too, but you don't see them much either. Don't ask me why, maybe it's because they just don't like going out of the house. Or the convent, whatever. So like I said before, down here in Latin America, when a Muslim woman's out in her burqa, Latin women do suddenly nudge each other in disbelief. Now, don't get me wrong. Latin women aren't like a lot of first world women I know. And that includes some of the women in my own family in Chicago. They're not going to cut up on her behind her back. You'll find, if you're down here a while, that Latin ladies aren't cruel like that. And they could be if they wanted to, believe me. Whatever the comments to each other, they'll be awful nice and pleasant about it. But they will have a comment or two. Not about religion or culture. They just don't get how a woman could cover herself up like that, especially a young woman. In fact, over the years, I've had a few Latin women ask me what's up with that, because they just haven't been filled in on the religious or cultural angle. The fact is, when you're off the tourist trail especially, if you're a gringo or a gringa, expect Latins to occasionally look to you as the answer man or answer lady. It happens to me all the time, so get used to it. Anyway, as for Latin women's opinions about ladies walking around in burqas, they just can't imagine any Latin woman ever going along with that. Latinas want to show the world their stuff, their style. And when Latin ladies find out that women in burqas don't belong to a religious order like Catholic nuns, who've made a career out of religion, basically a life's vocation, Latin ladies are even more shocked, or more precisely, confused. Now, why down here do Middle Eastern husbands continue to dress and try to look as Western as possible, while their wives appear to be very traditional Muslims, with the burqa and the head shawl and no makeup? Well, who can say? But I've been told that men westernize because it's better for business. Anyway, like an old Latin guy told me, you gringos think us Latins have a macho society? You ought to check out those Arabies. They've got the right idea. They don't even let their women drive. We may be macho, he said, but our women would never stand for that. And it is sometimes funny to see these ladies in burqas get out of nice new SUVs and go to the shopping centers. The funny part being that they've got a Latin driver slash bodyguard. Normally a short guy with a pot belly and a badly tailored cheap suit. By the way, most personal bodyguards down here look like they came out of the same mold. So on occasion you see these guys walking the usual 10 paces behind the woman with the burqa and her kids. And note, the businessman husband's almost always at work, so he's never out and about like that. And if he is, he's way too macho to take the bodyguard along with him. The chubby guy with the bad cheap suit is strictly for the wife and kids. And here's the other thing that doesn't make a lot of sense. Their kids are being brought up, at least it looks that way, totally Western style. Apparently first world capitalists all the way. You see them as little kids walking around with their Mickey Mouse t-shirts, Justin Bieber backpacks, snacking on cheese balls, Doritos, and Coca-Cola. While texting on Facebook, of course. Like good little first world consumers. In fact, at first glance, they look just as pampered as upscale Latin kids and gringo kids. Meanwhile, mom, in the burqa, is pushing the $300 pram. So yes, in every medium and large city in Latin America, you'll find those Muslim or the so-called Middle Eastern contingent. And by all measures, it just looks like they're trying to make a living, working hard and being very much the capitalists. So what about the fanatic fundamentalists that surely have to be filtering in down here? At least that's what people say. Are there Islamic safe houses and cells down here in Latin America? Well, to tell you the truth, because Latin governments, police, etc., are such underpaid, lazy, dead-ass slugs, I doubt that a radical Muslim fundamentalist in Central America would even have to hide out and get way under the radar. So that said, are there suspicious Muslim fanatics walking around freely in Latin America? Of course, rumors abound up in the States and all over the First World. But the funny thing is, there's been absolutely no news articles or any kind of news media or press coverage at all reporting on any suspected or uncovered radical cell or cells in Latin America, though everyone believes they have to exist. So it's not been in the media that anyone's been charged or deported based on ties to radical fundamentalist groups. Though long-term expats down here and people in the know believe that cells have been discovered. But U.S. government and alphabet agencies like the CIA have arrangements with certain Latin American governments to keep that stuff quiet. I mean, think about it. Suddenly, if the average guy is rolling out of bed up in Cleveland, and you flipped on the news and saw they just busted a terrorist cell in Guatemala, Mexico, Belize, or Salvador, well, I can tell you this, suddenly there'd be extreme pressure from all kinds of groups up in the States to completely seal off the Mexican border so that not a single cucaracha could get through. And since the rumors abound down here that cells have actually been busted, but no one's seen it on TV, what that strongly hints at is the people in control up in the States do not want that border sealed.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos.
She was a picture.